Amen. What a beautiful moment. I'm so thankful as a parent that we attend a church that believes in the next generation, aren't you? And encourages them to go after the things that God has for them. That's just such a blessing. Well, I did read a quote yesterday and I want to share it with you. It says, "Don't let what you see make you forget what God said." Don't let what you see make you forget what God said. So many times we're seeing life and we get focused on the wrong things, and then we tend to forget God's promises and they kind of go aside, but we can't forget the promises of God. And it made me think of a few weeks ago, I was bringing Malachi to work and there was a big fog throughout, from my house to where he works. And it was pretty thick. You have to slow down when it's foggy out, but you always have to trust the road that you're on. It's maybe someplace that you've been to and from for a while, and you have to trust that even though you're slowing down, that the road is still there and you're going to keep driving. Even through the fog, you can't really see what's going on. And so I looked up just a little information about a fog, and this is taken from the Paper Pulpit. It's a news article. It said, according to the Bureau of Standards in Washington, a dense fog covering 7 city blocks to a depth of 100 feet is composed of less than 1 glass of water. That amount of water is divided into about 60 billion tiny droplets. Yet when those minute particles settle over a city or the countryside, they can almost blot out everything from your sight. And I thought, isn't that so true? Something so that starts out so small, a glass of water, can cover such a great big area. And for us, we can allow something so small to become so big in our life that we forget what God has said. We forget that he's our provider. We forget that he's a God of more than enough. We forget that he's already won the victory in the battle, in the war, because of something so small. So I want to encourage you, don't let what you see make you forget what God has said. In Psalms 32:8, the Lord says, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." So no matter what's going on in your life, he's advising you. He's guiding you. He's watching over you. Look to him. Tune into what he's saying, not what you're seeing. Amen? Amen. Well, let's give to God today. The Bible says to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so that it would be filled and that you would have a blessing so much that you would not even be able to contain it. Why? Because we're putting God in the area of our finances first. Don't stop giving to him. He's already given to you a blessing. We want to give back to him our tithes and our offerings. And you will see that blessing in your life when you do that. There's different ways to give. You can text the City Church NY to the number 77977. You can grab an envelope if you're in-house today and put your tithe and offering in that and put it in one of the mailboxes in the back. You can go online and give that way, or you can download PushPay on your smartphone and give that way. I actually just had someone say to me last week, "I can't believe how easy PushPay really is. You keep saying that." It really is. Once you download it, put in your information, it's super easy. It takes less than 15 seconds to go on there and give that way. So just encourage you to do that. And we want to thank you for your continued giving in to this house, to the kingdom of God. And we pray blessings over you for doing that as well. Go
ahead. Yeah, give her a hand. Isn't it just sweet to be in the Lord's presence this morning? Wow, we didn't plan that. There was nothing planned about that. But what a beautiful work of the Holy Spirit here. You just never know. If you miss church, you just never know what you're going to miss. You can go to the store and you can buy something. You say, "Man, I forgot to go to the store. I forgot to buy that thing." It can be a little bit of a letdown. But you can go back to the store the next day and buy that thing you forgot to buy the day before. But when God moves, I'll tell you what, I'm a testimony to this. When God moves in a house and in a people, he does it in a moment. He does it in a, and he does it on a Sunday morning. He does it on a Wednesday when we hand food out, even though the rain wouldn't stop. He did it in a moment, and God can do. Paulie's all the time. He's saying to me, Ryan, I gotta tell you about this testimony. And he's so excited. He's so enthused about what God is using him to do. But the truth of the matter is, we have to be obedient and we have to be available. Hello. So don't miss moments like this, and encourage those that maybe have a little tendency to just shove off a moment. Just encourage them. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss this time. Don't miss this opportunity. And this morning, I want to share something with you really brief. And I didn't share this in the first service, but I heard Dad preaching this morning, and very clearly, based on a scripture that he read, and maybe you'll catch it if you're familiar with the history of Moses, maybe you'll catch it as he preaches, but I heard to share this, and I want to read it to you. It's in Numbers 20, and I want to start in verse 2 and just read just a little bit. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, if we had only died with our brothers and fell dead before the Lord, why did you bring the Lord's community into the desert that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us out of Egypt to this terrible place if there was no grain or figs or grapevines or pomegranates? How many of you are hungry right now? And there was no water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell down at their face. It's like they went into God's house. They went into the church, fell down on their face, and began to pray. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord said these words to them. I love this. Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gathered the assembly together. Speak to the rock. Say, speak to the rock. Say it one more time. Speak to the rock. That's like when you're singing this morning and you say, live, live. Dry bones hear the word of the Lord. When God speaks to you, he oftentimes says, speak to a thing, speak to a child, speak to a situation, and God begins to move on your behalf. Oh, most times God is asking you to take some action for the miracle that you need in your life. You're looking at me like I'm crazy this morning. I am. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community. So say, so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered at the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen to what Moses says. Listen, you rebels, we must bring you water out of this rock. Then Moses raised his arms up and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and the livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of all the community, you will not bring this community to heal the land. Now listen, I know that this story, there's so much to it. There's so much context. But I just want to pull this out of the context. And I want to first of all say this. The grace of God is so profound over your life and mine that even when we mess up, he fixes the story. His intention and the theology that he's writing in this scripture is he had a thought in mind, but Moses and Aaron stepped out of that. But you'll find out in the New Testament this morning that God's grace stepped in and fixed the mess up that they made. You ought to say a better amen than that. But what I want to pull out of this is that you can get, what's that statement you made when you opened, Aaron? Don't let what you see make you forget what God said. And that's what happened to Moses and Aaron. What they saw was aggravation. What they saw was frustration. Maybe, who knows? Maybe they saw COVID before it even came. They were frustrated with where they were in life. You ever been there?
they were irritated, and the Spirit of God begins to speak to them. This is how I'm going to fix this situation. Be obedient to me, honor me, trust me, and walk this thing out. Have some endurance. And they did some of it, but they didn't do all of it. Because what they had saw made them forget what God had said. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. It will be easy preaching this morning for you, Dad. What I want to sow to you is, don't get so caught up in the now that you forget about what the tomorrow is. Don't get so mad in a moment that you forget God's goodness and grace for tomorrow. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies endure forever. Today might be a little rough. Your kids might be away from God. You might say, man, I wish my kids were up front there with the rest of them. What's the use? Why do I even keep doing this? His mercies are new every morning. Don't forget what God spoke, because you're so concentrated on the circumstances for tomorrow. When I said kids, I felt a draw again. If your prayer was, man, I wish my kids are up there, just lift your hand. I'm going to pray over you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, you see all the hands all over this place. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that as parents, that as we walk out our faith with fear and trembling, that, Father, we even prepare a way behind us for our kids, that they'll be chastened and drawn and wooed to your Spirit this morning. I pray that. I speak that. I declare that. I prophesy that over every parent in this place, God, that your goodness and grace would be with their children just as they believe. In Jesus' name, say amen.
Come on. Beautiful. Great to see you here today. Thank you, Dee. It takes me a minute to get all situated up here. It's great to see you. Great to be here. Those of you that are watching online as well, we just thank God for you. We honor each and every one of you, and just excited about what he's going to do in this moment, in this time. And we believe in your kids. We believe in your kids. This season has thrown all the normalcy off so much. It won't be long. We'll be having kids' church again and nursery. I don't know when that date is verbatim. I've had a lot of people ask. I wish I knew. Things change on a regular basis. You know, there's some things that are happening in New York State that aren't happening here, and I'm just so grateful and thankful for that. But I just want to encourage you to stay strong, stay steady. Keep moving forward. Don't let fear arrest you, stop you, hinder you, keep you back from what God has for you. Continually make plans, have dreams, move forward. Believe God for your children. I don't care what's going on with them. You believe God for great things. You speak over their lives every single day. You pray over them. You call things that are not as though they were. For the young kids, you lay your hands on them. You pray that great things are going to happen with them, in them, and for them, and don't get caught up in anything else. This, I don't care how dark and gloomy, I don't care what political people try to, I want to say it nice, but I'm just to be honest with you, I'm a little over the top with all of the stuff. I don't care what the, help me God, I don't, that's the trouble with going live. Everybody, use your words against you later. Stay on the course that God has called you to. Amen. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month as well. That's why I got the pink shirt on. Real men wear pink. And last Wednesday and this coming Wednesday, the huge food giveaway that we're doing at St. Anthony's, thank you to all the volunteers that were a part of that. Thank you so much. If any of you say, gee, I'd like to be a part of that, show up Liberty Street at 8 o'clock in the morning. And last week, it was over at like 10:05. It's just amazing what has taken place. And so if you want to be a part of it, come on. we're going to have another great day this Wednesday and last Wednesday. I pray, God, please keep the rain away. And the rain came. And I mean, it rained every minute that we were out there. And I think the rain stopped like in half an hour when we were all done. But you know what? God showed up in the middle of it. I didn't hear one person complain. I didn't hear one person, you know, say, I can't believe it's raining, we're wet, we're cold. I was so cold when I got done. I mean, I haven't been that cold since I used to spread manure in the wintertime with no cab on the tractor. I know not many of you know what I'm talking about right now, but put your hand up if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's how cold I was. But, you know, it was so good. We first two truckloads came, and the last box of food went into a car, and I looked down Liberty Street. Here comes the third truck, like 2 minutes after nine, pulled in. It was amazing. It was perfectly. God could have orchestrated it in a better way. And he's going to do it again this Wednesday. If you want to be a part of a miracle, show up 8 o'clock, and let's see what God's going to do. And for those of you that live in different little neighborhoods or streets or something, you want to come and be a blessing to your street, come on, take a bunch with you and go and deliver it around. It's going to be another incredible day. I was led to share what I'm going to share with you today, what I've shared in the last couple weeks, the word endure, because I have witnessed a level of discouragement from people in this season like I haven't seen before. The lady leaving after the first service, she said, I'm 80 years old. I've never seen anything like this. And for some, it's been so emotional, heart-wrenching. When you hear stories about loved ones who have gotten sick and nobody can go visit them. We have elderly people in the church that they're challenged right now and nobody can go see them. And then to hear the stories about family members that have lost their lives and nobody could go and hold their hand in the last minute of their life. It's just so devastating. I had a pastor friend. I got word a little over 2 weeks ago from out of state. I haven't seen him in a few years, that took his own life through just discouragement. And I don't bring, when I tell you this today, I don't tell you, okay, come on, suck it up. You know, you got to endure. I'm telling you this today because there's a pathway that you and I can choose. And when you make that choice, it will lead you out of the discouragement, out of the despondency that life tries to put on you. And not only in this year, not only in 2020, but for some, you know, this isn't any different than telling a person that's lost a loved one, telling a person who's gone through a divorce, telling a person who's lost a child. I mean, these moments, these times are devastating. We don't need endurance just for coronavirus. We need endurance for every day of our lives. Amen. So I want to pray, and then I just want to share. And I'm only going to be just a few moments this morning. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit in this house now. Have your way, I pray, in every one of our lives, in Jesus' name. And everybody said a big amen. Can we put our hands together again for the worship team? What a great job, Debbie, all the musicians and singers. The word endure, it means the power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way, just without giving up. The Greek word for endurance is hupaneo. It means to bear bravely. It means to do it calmly, and it means to have fortitude. Some scriptures that help you to understand this even better is James 5:11. James said, indeed we count them blessed who endure. He said, you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Look at that again. We count them blessed who endure. Remember, I was sharing out of Mark's gospel the last 2 weeks, those who endure shall be saved. Here, James says, people are blessed who endure. And then he uses Job. He said, you've heard of the perseverance of Job. And many times that's all we hear and we talk about and how all the terrible things that he went through. But here's an incredible word. He said, we've seen the end intended by the Lord. And that's not the end of Job's life, but it's the end of the tragedy that he was going through in his life. And the Bible says he received double for everything that he had lost. 1 Peter 2:20, this is one of the most powerful scriptures in the Word of God. You should write it down. You should circle it in your Bible. If you don't have this translation, get it so you can read it like it. In the New International Version, it says, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong? You know, we kid about it. We go to the gym in the morning and, you know, we just say, that was a beating. That just was a beating. Sometimes I feel like, not literally, but it feels like it. But Peter says, how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? He said, you got what you had coming to you. You don't get any credit for that. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. One translation says this finds favor in the sight of God. That when you do good and people talk bad about you. And if I could tell you the things that I've heard that people have called up and that, you know, ungrateful, unthankful. And I'm telling you, the carnal man would say things and respond in ways that would not bring glory to God. But the Bible says that when you do good and you suffer for it, people talk about you, people lie about you, people cheat you, you help people and they just say, you know, things like, is that all you're going to do? You didn't give me enough, you didn't do this, or you do good and people lie about you? And the Bible says, instead of you saying, I give up, forget it, what's the use? The Bible says that when you endure that, when you push through it, when you decide to face it bravely and not give up, this is commendable in the sight of God. I could close my Bible right now and say amen. And if you caught that, it would improve, it would give you such blessing in your life. Not, you don't get an applause or an amen or an attaboy or an attagirl every time you do something great. In fact, the opposite happens sometimes. You can give your life to a situation, to an individual, to a purpose. You can give your life and you can still be talked about, lied about, cheated on, stolen from. And you can make a decision. Forget it. That's it. I'm done with this. I'm going home. I'm taking my toys and I'm going home. But when you say, nope, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. When you have that endurance working inside of you, the Bible says that you will find favor in the sight of God. And the Bible says that you will be blessed because of it. To endure means that you have to believe even when you can't see what God is doing and working in you. Because he is always working within you. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, and I love what the writer here says. He said, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own soul. And I love this story, and I remember when this happened. I can't believe it's been 7 years ago, but 7 years ago, there was a woman by the name of Diana Nyad who made a decision some 35 years prior that she was going to swim from Havana, Cuba to Florida, to Key West, Florida, 100 miles. 35 years prior to it, she attempts this journey 4 times in her life, and she failed every single time. But at the age of 64, the perfect age, may I add, at the age of 64, she decides, I'm going to do it again. And she's going to take off on this 100-mile, 53-hour swim from Havana to Key West. 53. We're not talking about a run. We're not talking about a hike. We're talking about you're in the ocean for 53 hours. Being the first person to ever made that journey. No shark cage around her. And the story says that she would say to herself when she was swimming that with one stroke, she would push Cuba back. And with the other stroke, she would pull Florida towards her. Some of you you need to make a note of that in your life. You gotta, with one stroke, push your past behind you and pull your future towards you. And she said all the way she would tell herself, I know you don't like it. She would speak to herself, I know you don't like it, but find a way. She wore this special suit with a face mask, a special made face mask to keep her face from being bitten so much by the jellyfish. One of the times she did it, the wind was so strong that she would swim for hours. She made it just a few feet. Another time she set out to do it years prior. She started swimming and a lightning and thunderstorm happened. She couldn't do it. A third time that she did it, she got bitten by jellyfish so much that it was shutting off her ability to breathe, and they had to pull her out of the water. What would make a 64-year-old woman say, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go for the dream that God has put in my life. Endurance. And I can't imagine what she felt when she saw that shore. And she got on that shore, and she said, I've got 3 messages to tell everybody. I know what my message, get me a sandwich, get me a coffee, and get me a chair. Her face sunburned, swollen. She said, number one, we should never, ever give up. Number two, you are never too old to chase your dreams. And number three, it looks like a solitary sport, but it's a team. But this time, she had people on both sides of her and little kayaks and boats, and she had somebody going in front of her, pushing the jellyfish out of the way. Could you imagine swimming in that and having all these bites all over you, swollen, sunburned? And in 2013, she makes this statement. That's the year that this happened. September 2nd, 2013. In 2013, she writes, and I think it's just like today. She says, I think a lot of people in our country have gotten depressed, pinned in, pinned down, and living with lives that they don't want. She said, tell me what your dreams are. What are you chasing? She said, because it's not impossible. But what we all need to do is, she didn't set out on a 100-mile swim. She didn't wake up one day and say, oh, I think I'm going to swim 100 miles. She began to train. She began to position herself. She began to put herself in places with people that could help her make the journey. She trained and she worked hard. And my brothers and my sisters, we have to train and work hard to keep moving forward, to keep believing for God's very best for our own personal lives, for our families, and for our nation that we live in. Because we will always have a chorus of people around us telling us what we can't do, that we're too old, that you missed the chance, what you should or shouldn't do. But you and I, as Christ followers and his disciples, we are ever learning and growing and changing
and we are developing into who God has called us to be. And you know what? Sometimes you're just going to take a licking and you got to just keep on ticking in life. You got to learn to endure. And we watched this last Thursday night right here as we honored Chuck Wood, 82 years old, one after the other came down and said, thank you for not giving up. Thank you for not stopping. Thank you for not giving up on me. And endurance will not only have an effect on you, but it'll have an effect on everyone around you. And the writer in this Hebrews, he is communicating to us, and he starts out in chapter 12 with the word therefore. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And anytime you see the word therefore, you always want to go behind it and see what it's there for. You look in Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks about that great journey, hall of faith, where all of these men and women endured to see the promises of God. And for some of them, they endured and they never saw God's promise. Verse 4 in chapter 11, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Verse 5, Enoch was taken away. He didn't see death. He had his testimony that he pleased God. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Verse 8, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he would receive for an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. And I get so sick and tired of people telling me, what's your 5-year, your 10-year, your 20-year plan? If you live by your plan, you will shortchange what God wants to do in your life. Abraham went where God told him, and he didn't know where he was going. Come on, my brothers and sisters. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive a seed and bore a child when she was past age, 75, and she got pregnant. Baby, we got time. And she judged him faithful who had promised, therefore, for one man and him as good as dead. I'm far from dead, baby. I want you to know that. I got there may be snow on the roof, but there's fire in the furnace. I don't know why I'm saying that today. Hey, I'm going to turn 65 next week, Pastor Tommy Barnett. When you get to that age, he said, you can say more than you could when you were younger. Verse 13, they all died in faith, not having received the promise, having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Verse 32, what more shall I say? For the time with family to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained a promise, stopped the mouths of lion, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of a sword, out of weakness, come on, they were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Woman received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance so that they could obtain a better resurrection. Still others had mockings and scourgings and chains, imprisonment, stoned, sawn in two, tempted, slain. They wandered with sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves, and all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not even receive the promise. God having provided, everybody say it, something better. Say it. Come on, say it. Something better. And in verse 12, in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1, he said, we are surrounded. Here comes some thoughts for you by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside weights and sins. Two different things. You see, a weight may not be a sin, but a weight is something that drags you down and drags you away from the purposes and the plans of God. I always get just tickled when I see people wanting to argue with things that they can do. The Bible says, well, the Bible doesn't say I can't smoke pot. You can't show me in the Bible where it says I can't smoke marijuana. And I'm like, you're right, I can't. But is it good for you? It may not be a sin, but is it the best for you? I'm just using that. If you smoke pot, well, if you're under conviction, good for you. I don't think it's good for you. I don't think it'll lead to anything good. It could be a person. It could be a place. It could be something that keeps God's best from your life. it's not a sin, but is it the best for you? Hello, are you listening to me today? And some of you are holding on to these weights and you're not able to endure to the level that God has called you to. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. One translation says it's non-profitable. It doesn't gain you anything. Oh, yeah, you can do it, but it's not healthy for you. It's not going to gain you anything. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. It's a weight. It's holding you back. It's keeping you from being able to go the distance. Amen. Come on today. And then sin, I like, you know, the word sin just means missing the mark, missing the best. But I like what somebody, I read this. It's sin is something that calls your name and you stop and you look at it. Do I need to talk about that right there? Something that calls your name and you stop and you look at it. James 4:17, to him to know to do good and doesn't do it, to him, that's sin. And he says, you got to lay it down. You got to cast it aside. If you're going to walk in endurance and run with endurance, you're not going to be able to have the weight in your life, and you're not going to be able to tolerate the sin that you always tolerated. You know, we know God, he's a forgiver of sin. He can help us with that, and he will help us with that, but it doesn't take you the distance that he is calling you to go. Amen. Come on, can I get a better amen? So how do I get through these? And I'm going to close, and these just these couple points. Number one, you got to learn to look towards Jesus. The Bible says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame. How do you look towards him? Looking means leaning into him. You got to not only look at him, but you got to lean your life in the direction that if you were to just to let go, you know that he would catch you. Come on, are you there yet? Where's my woohoo crowd anyways this morning? Come on. You got to lean into him. Lean into him. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The NIV says it this way, fixing your eyes on him and him alone. You got to also, you got to lean into him. Looking also means not looking at everything else around you. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and they start looking at you and all of a sudden they get caught up looking in another direction? And don't we do that with the Lord sometimes? He's got our attention. We're looking at him. In fact, some of you, you're caught up on your phone right now. You're not paying attention to what he's saying. It's not what I'm saying. It's what God is saying to us as a church, as a body of Christ right now. You've got to quit looking at other things and look unto him only. Fix your eyes on him only. And looking also means loving, knowing that he's our reward, that for the joy set before him, that he loves us so much. And then lastly, number two, you got to believe that joy is on the other side of whatever it is you're dealing with right now. Let me tell you something. Joy is going to come to many that are going to get on the other side of coronavirus. You know what's going to be joy for me? When I have a fire and I burn every mask that I ever bought. I said that for a couple. I shouldn't have done that. That's... Verse 2 says, but for the joy that was set before him, he endured. He did not put his focus on what his present circumstances were, because on the other side of the things that you're going through today is a great victory in your life. On the other side of every frustration, every pain, every discouragement, disappointment you are going through is an answer. There's a solution. There's something wonderful that God is working out on the other side of it. Jesus could handle his Friday because he knew Sunday was on its way. And no matter how ugly it seems right now, a resurrection is coming to your life. Come on today. Your marriage can be rough. Your children could be giving you a hard time. You may be short on money. Your job may just be difficult. Business is tough. School is like nothing anybody ever imagined. But if you will endure and rise above it, you and I will see on the other side of it that he has joy and it's waiting for you. The Bible says in Psalm 30 and verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in your morning today. We don't want to just run our race. We want to run it with joy. Yeah, we're going to have some challenges. We're going to have some difficulty. It's going to rain in your life sometimes. But you don't have to stop there. We don't want to wear out, burn out, give up. We want to move from faith to faith, glory to glory, strength to strength. And it can't be done in our own power and in our own strength. It comes through the power of Jesus Christ and him alone. When he is working in your heart and in your life, he will help you through the darkest moments of your life. Give you the power to endure, the power to overcome, the power to see the impossible become possible in your life. Come on today. That's it. If you receive it, give God a big praise in his house. It's going to help you and I to endure today. Close your eyes, bow your heads with me today. Spirit of the living God, some God that have been broken and tormented, feel like they have messed up to the point where there's no hope. God, in the midst of this, impart within their lives, in endurance. Woo. I feel that draw right now. If that's speaking to you, I want you to stand up right where you're at. I'm not going to ask you to come down. I just want you to stand up. I feel God, he wants to really deposit something so spiritual, such a significance in your life today. Stand up right where you're at today. Power to endure. Thank you, Lord. May it be so today. Help every one of us to leave the weights and the sins and to look to you and to believe you. In the midst of discouragement, despair, bring joy, I pray today. Bring joy. Every life, every home, every family. Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit that you will encourage and inspire every individual that is here, even those that are not standing today. That we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are seen, they are eternal. Let eternity rest on every life today, in particular to those that are standing. Let joy, let purpose, let it come to fruition in their lives today. I pray for those that are watching at home today, God. Give them strength, give them hope, give them peace. I pray for those that have never given their lives to Christ, that today they would just say yes to Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his strength to be upon you. May the Lord grant you his peace today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. I love you. Come on, yeah, God is good, isn't he? Yeah, come on, let's just give Jesus the best praise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go in his grace today. Be blessed. He's got something great stored up for you. Who knows? Today may be that day for everything to turn around. I love you. God bless you.